This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A Capitol Hill sit-in. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, June 23. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
House Democrats demanding votes on gun control bills have taken over the chamber. The demonstration began shortly before lunch yesterday.
Saying she ran the State Department like her own hedge fund, Donald Trump lit up Hillary Clinton during remarks in New York.
Should they stay or go? Residents of the UK are voting today on their status in the European Union.
And how millions of U.S. consumers have improved their borrowing status.
A number of factors are at play that are improving people's credit scores. The first thing is the sheer passage of time, meaning that you had millions of people who had foreclosures, missed payments on credit cards that were on their credit reports. These were events that occurred during the financial crisis. But as the years go by, these events get removed from their credit report.
Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis on the loan applicants now out of subprime territory. She explains why and what it means in about 20 minutes. House Democrats are sending a message about gun laws. They took control of the chamber all day yesterday and into the wee hours of this morning to demand votes on new gun control bills. It led to a loud confrontation with Republicans, including when House Speaker Paul Ryan tried to bring the House to order, banging the gavel. At least 170 House Democrats staged a sit-in, occupying the floor of the chamber in an effort to force votes from Republican leaders on bills that would expand background checks for guns and prevent suspected terrorists from buying firearms. California Democrat Javier Becerra.
We will not leave until history is made, and we have an opportunity to vote on a bill to give America sensible gun legislation.
Speaker Ryan called it a publicity stunt, pointing out that the Senate had already defeated the kind of bill the Democrats were demanding. Meanwhile, after Republicans voted to adjourn for summer recess earlier this morning, CBS reports the sit-in continues.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
The UK is voting today on a historic referendum that could unsettle the global economy. After months of bitter campaigning that sharply divided the country over questions of immigration and identity, final polls showed Britons almost exactly split over whether the country should exit the European Union, which is made up of 28 countries. Former London Mayor Boris Johnson wants the UK to leave.
If we vote leave, we can take back control of our borders, of huge sums of money, £10 billion a year net, of our tax-raising powers, of our trade policy, and of our whole lawmaking system, the democracy that is the foundation of our prosperity.
Meanwhile, British Prime Minister David Cameron wants the UK to stay.
Let's not make this choice to cut ourselves off from the world, to damage our economy, and let's recognise that the big challenges that we face, whether growing economies, getting more jobs, tackling huge problems in our world, we're better off if we fight them together.
We should know the results late tonight in the US, although Leave had been leading the polls recently. Remain has caught up since the murder of Joe Cox, a member of parliament who was pro-EU. Today's vote in Britain about whether the country should exit the European Union might not be front and center when it comes to conversations with friends and neighbors, but American businesses and their executives are nervously eyeing this decision. There's a strong trade relationship between the two countries, with American exports to Britain totaling $54 billion in 2014 and more than 7,500 companies operating in the UK. More from reporter Lydia Tomcu at International Business Times. Lydia, what's at stake here?
I wanted to see what it would mean for local American companies that are starting to grow their businesses in the UK and looking to expand also into the European-wide market. So I decided to go talk to the Brooklyn Brewery because we know both the US and the UK are big beer drinkers. And their biggest concern going into the vote and the outcome is the potential for massive currency fluctuations if the UK were to leave the European Union. And that means their imported beer could become a lot more expensive in the UK if the pound was to devalue against the dollar.
All right. And that would mean what? Reduced profits for at least for delivery or sale to the UK?
Potentially. I mean, sort of the big unknown with all of this is how long it's sort of going to last if Britain does decide to leave. It would be the first country to ever do so. And a lot of experts are estimating now that it could be a process of 2 to 3 years to sort of extricate itself from the European Union, come up with new trade relationships and treaties. So a lot of businesses are really worried. And some of the others I spoke to, some of the smaller cosmetics, perfume companies here in New York, are just sort of playing a wait-and-see approach at the moment. They'd love to have warehouses and sign agreements with distributors in the UK, but there's sort of an opportunity value for them to just hold back and see how this all plays out.
Well, we're speaking with Lydia Tomku, reporter at International Business Times covering Europe and the economy. Her piece is called What's on Tap for the U.S. with Brexit, as UK voters go to the polls today to decide whether or not to leave the European Union. All right, JP Morgan Chase, that was startling too. Jamie Dimon said, what, possibly 4,000 layoffs?
Yeah, a lot of CEOs have come out very vocally, which is interesting, and given their opinions on this, warning that they might not be able to do the jobs the way they have been in the UK if it leaves, because it's been an entry point for the rest of Europe, so they can do business with France, you know, all the way east to Poland. We've also seen a lot of big automakers coming out, BMW, General Motors, Toyota, Ford, all warning that they would love to see a Remain vote. Ford also sent a letter to its 14,000 British employees warning that they'd love to see a Remain vote happen.
Wow. All right. So what about other stuff that's imported, say? What else is being watched here?
A lot of products. I mean, the U.S. sells a lot of, equipment, planes, weapons to the U.K. Also, a lot of refined petroleum, airplane parts. The trade relationship between the U.S. and the U.K. is a really big one, and there's a lot of ease there in the sense that we speak the same language. We have a shared common history. So a lot of companies are watching this very closely.
Wow. Are there business owners and operators who have completely different approaches here? Some who want to stay and some who want to go?
Yeah, I mean, some people are seeing it as a chance that the UK is a big market, it's a large population. Sort of one of the perfume companies I talked to, their owners in the UK right now, talking to, department stores and looking to expand into the market, is sort of moving forward despite what happens. So people are taking different approaches to it. And, I mean, sort of a funny note, the Brooklyn Brewery, their CEO told me that, even during the recession here, in good times and bad, people drink beer. So maybe a flip side silver lining for some companies will be that, sales won't get hit too much either way.
Reporter Lydia Tomku at International Business Times. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan's ranking as a top 10 pro-business state. 2000 is the number of unnecessary regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climate. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more, Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery, grow your contact list, and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey, welcome to a Thursday. Glad you're here. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is on the attack against Democrat Hillary Clinton. In a speech yesterday, he called her the most corrupt person ever to seek the presidency. Mr. Trump also blamed the former Secretary of State for the deaths of four Americans in the 2012 terrorist attack in Benghazi and said her foreign policies paved the way for Islamic State.
Hillary Clinton has perfected the politics of personal profit and even theft. She ran the State Department like her own personal hedge fund, doing favors for oppressive regimes, and many others, and really many, many others.
Later in the day, Mrs. Clinton tried to explain Mr. Trump's focus on her character and career.
He's going after me personally because he has no answers on the substance.
The speech by Mr. Trump came one day after Mrs. Clinton delivered a speech claiming Mr. Trump would, quote, bankrupt the U.S. economy. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
And rebellious Democrats staged an extraordinary round-the-clock sit-in on the House floor to demand votes on gun control bills, shouting down Speaker Paul Ryan when he attempted to restore order as their protests stretched into the night. The revolt was led by civil rights champion John Lewis of Georgia.
I don't know what the end is going to be, but my idea is just stay here.
The stunning and unruly scene was broadcast live from Democrats' cell phones, feeds picked up by C-SPAN, after Republicans shut down the network's cameras. Despite the protest, Ryan refused to allow votes on the two measures.
This is nothing more than a publicity stunt. That's point number one. Point number two is this bill was already defeated in the United States Senate. Number three, we are not going to take away a citizen's due process rights.
The House adjourned until after the 4th of July. A Baltimore judge is poised to deliver his verdict today in the murder trial of an officer who drove the police van where a black arrestee's neck was broken, triggering some of the worst riots the city has ever seen. Cesar Goodson was charged with murder, manslaughter, assault, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office in connection with the death of Freddie Gray. After months of delay, Los Angeles has approved nearly $60 million to outfit its police force with body cameras, with an agreement with Taser International. With a plan to deploy 7,000 cameras, Los Angeles will become the largest police department in the country to so widely adopt the technology. White Americans no longer account for the majority in hundreds of counties across the U.S., a trend transforming the country's social and political landscape as Latinos, Asians, and Blacks outpace white population growth. Census figures show that in 370 counties across 36 states and the District of Columbia, non-Hispanic whites account for less than half the population. That includes counties such as those encompassing Austin, Charlotte, Atlanta, and Sacramento. And a plane powered by solar power landed in Spain this morning after completing a 70-hour flight from New York. It's the first solo transatlantic crossing ever in a solar-powered airplane.
Leg room and baggage fees, though, remain issues, even for solar planes.
70 hours. That's quite a flight.
I'd
be a little bored in that one.
I'll be flying for a week. See you sometime in July. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday eve. The percentage of Americans with subprime credit scores has fallen to the lowest level in more than a decade, a development that could give bank lending and the overall economy a boost. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. Anna Maria, give us some numbers.
The share of U.S. adults with credit scores that are considered to be subprime has been falling for the last 6 years. It fell to just shy of 21% this year. That's the lowest level since at least 2005, which is as far back as the data goes. So what we're talking about here are people's FICO credit scores. FICO scores are the most widely used credit scores by lenders when they're determining whether to approve people when they apply for loans, and that what interest rates to approve them at. So FICO's numbers essentially show that more and more people are improving their credit scores and are moving up from being subprime borrowers. This figure peaked in 2010. So in 2010, we had about 25%, of people with credit scores were subprime. And so as that number has been coming down, we're now shy of 21%.
Wow. All right. So you would know this more than me, but the cynic in me says, well, banks probably were losing money, so they changed the standards so that more people would be out of subprime status so that they could be loaned more money.
So not exactly. Okay. So what has occurred here is a number of factors are at play that are improving people's credit scores. The first thing is the sheer passage of time, meaning that you had millions of people who had foreclosures, missed payments on credit cards and car loans that were on their credit reports. These were events that occurred during the financial crisis. But as the years go by, these events get removed from their credit reports. In most cases, they stay on their credit reports for up to 7 years. So that time, that period of time has passed for many people, and as those events get removed from their credit reports, their credit scores increase. They benefit from that. In addition, what we do know is that delinquencies on consumer loans are currently near all-time lows, which suggests that people are just handling their debt in a more responsible way. So this mix of factors, plus the fact that we've been in a low interest rate environment, which has made borrowers more able to handle their debt, for example, mortgage payments are smaller because interest rates are lower, all of these playing together have helped improve subprime people's credit scores. And it's important to point out that most banks have been hesitant to lend to subprime borrowers. There have been other lenders who've been courting them. But for banks, this development is a good thing because effectively what it means is that they could see an increase in loan volume going forward without having to loosen their standards just by the fact that you have more people who are moving up the credit score range and can now qualify with a credit score that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to qualify for a year or two ago.
All right. Thanks, Anna Maria. Wall Street Journal consumer lending reporter Anna Maria Andriotis. By the way, reminder that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. We use the username @ThisMorningShow. And if you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you could follow me directly @GordonDeal. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Hello, I'm Jerry Mathers. I was the Beaver in Leave It to Beaver. And 20 years ago, I almost died from type 2 diabetes. When I was diagnosed with type 2, I was shocked. My blood sugar was through the roof. Now, the very same natural remedies I use to control my type 2 diabetes are available for you in a super easy program called the Diabetes Solution Kit. And I should know it works. I use the very same techniques to drop 40 pounds of fat, get my blood sugar under control, and watch my type 2 diabetes fade into thin air. If you have diabetes, I urge you to try this step-by-step plan. It has all the natural techniques I used, and it works a lot faster, too. I'm Jerry Mathers, and if I can do it, you can do it, too.
If you'd like to normalize your blood sugar and stop taking your diabetes medication completely with your doctor's approval, go to reverse44.com. That's reverse44.com. Reverse your diabetes in as little as 30 days by going to reverse44.com. That's reverse44.com now.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter @ThisMorningShow. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Thursday, June 23rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Kashenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Democrats occupy the House to demand votes on gun bills. Brexit vote for Brits today. New report says the State Department was forced to turn off security features because of concerns with Hillary Clinton's home email server. A Muslim police officer is suing the NYPD over its no beard policy. A congressional candidate in Tennessee has put up a campaign road sign that reads, "Make America White Again." And the NBA draft is tonight. How relevant is NCAA tournament experience for players? That story in about 20 minutes. With the presidential race now featuring just two major party candidates, we'll be hearing more about their actual proposals, along with attacks on those proposals from the other side. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman will be deconstructing the candidates' campaign promises all the way through November. In the meantime, here are a handful of economic ideas from Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump that would probably do more harm than good. Rick, what are you seeing?
We're now better able to sort of look at what their actual policies and proposals are and what they might do if they become president. And some of the things they're talking about, you can understand the populist appeal. But they could actually be damaging if they went into effect. And I think the most obvious one of these is trade wars. Donald Trump is hitting that really hard, obviously. He wants to roll back free trade agreements with Mexico and with China and other countries. And Hillary Clinton, who used to be pretty much a pro-free trade politician, has backed away from that, and she now says she opposes some trade deals. This would, you have to ask, is this just rhetoric that sort of plays to angry voters and it's nothing more, or is there a real likelihood of a rollback of some of these trade deals? And if there is a chance of a rollback, it's not going to be good. I mean, one trade group, one business group says that Trump's policies would cause a recession within a year. I mean, that's almost immediate. And it would raise prices on a lot of imported goods, which means Americans would be paying more for a lot of everyday stuff. There probably are better ways to address the concerns that people have raised here about trade and about globalization than just killing the trade deals. The real concern about trade is that it creates winners and losers, and that the losers, we have not done a real good job of figuring out how to take care of the losers, the people who might lose their jobs because the jobs go overseas, for example. So I think that's what economists would say. Let's focus on solving the problem instead of creating more problems by trying to go back in time.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. His piece is about campaign promises that would hurt the economy. You mentioned, too, this point about continued class warfare. Explain that.
This is playing out in the rhetoric and in the proposals again from the candidates, and I'll focus on Hillary Clinton on this one. She does have a tax policy which is basically cut taxes for the middle class and raise taxes on the wealthy. And the reality of this is that won't happen. Congress won't pass that. President Obama has been trying to pass a bill like that in many of his recent annual budgets that come forward. And it's never even come close to passing. And basically what it does, it just creates kind of an us versus them, and it just furthers this impression that the rich are getting richer at the expense of everybody else. And whether there's truth to that or not, to propose a plan that everybody knows won't go anywhere doesn't help. So, forget about putting one group against another, putting the middle class against the wealthy, for example. There certainly are policies that would help everybody. You could establish a middle class tax cut without raising taxes on the rich, for example, if you can't get that part of a bill through Congress. So again, focus on the pragmatic instead of on stuff that it just gets people fired up and angry, but has no chance of actually accomplishing anything.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman, who's based in New York. It is 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, no matter who wins the White House in November, both the winner and losers of the election have already had a profound influence in at least one area of our lives, baby names. ABC News reported on a new study by Baby Center, which found that the number of babies born with the name Hillary has risen 142% since this time last year, and Bill is up 113%. The Trump family names are also experiencing a surge, though not as significant as the Clintons. Donald has increased 8% since last year. Melania has jumped 36%, and Ivanka 4%, which means that there was more than one Ivanka, apparently, already.
It's exactly what I was going to say.
I've never met another Ivanka, but apparently there were multiples. The only presidential hopeful who hasn't had the same effect is Senator Bernie Sanders. The name Bernard has dropped 50%, in fact, according to Baby Center, and not a single baby has been named Bernie so far this year. Oh, and patriotic names don't stop at the election, either. Broadway sensation Hamilton has also inspired parents, with the name growing 60% since this time this last year. I have a hard time believing that there have been no babies named Bernie, or there will not be babies named Bernie at some point.
I was going to argue the same thing.
With the passionate followers of Bernie Sanders,
right?
Somebody is, perhaps there's a bun in the oven now that will be born in a few months,
right?
That will be named Bernie.
It may not be a popular name anymore, But from a family name perspective,
yes,
certainly somebody is trying to keep the name Bernard
right,
or Bernie alive.
Right. And again, I believe some passionate Sanders supporter is going to name their baby Bernie at some point. Again, maybe hasn't been yet, but perhaps a few months down the road, there'll be some Bernies out there.
Maybe because many of his supporters are millennials. They don't have children yet.
Well, okay. That's possible. Yeah, that's possible as well. Maybe
by the
a little
way,
too young.
Speaking of Hamilton,
mm-hmm,
I saw a tweet from Lin-Manuel Miranda on Twitter. It says, lady rolls down her car window at 181st Street. Congrats on Hamlet. He says, I wish I wrote Hamlet. Lady says, yay Hamlet, and drives away.
Yay Hamlet.
Hashtag my day. Lin-Manuel Miranda
Hashtag
on Twitter.
Yay Hamlet. And we've heard about parents, Gordon, going to great lengths to play matchmaker for their adult children, but a 48-year-old man from Utah says his father went a little too far. Baron Brooks of Salt Lake City says his father, Arthur, paid for the $900 full-page ad that ran in an Idaho paper featuring a photo of Baron and the headline, Looking for a Wife.
Oh, no.
Now,
no.
The ad purports to be written from Baron's perspective and specifies what his future wife will have. Quote, she'll probably be between the ages of 34 to 38, but that can be flexible. You will be attractive, being height and weight proportional. Ideally, you will have no children from previous marriages, but that is also flexible. Now, what is not flexible, Gordon, is the political views a potential wife should hold. It says, quote, you must be politically conservative. This is very important to me. If you voted for Obama or plan to vote for Hillary, you're not for me. As you might imagine, Baron is mortified by his father's bold move to find him a wife, though he's not entirely surprised either, describing his dad as nuts and akin to Larry David's character from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I see.
And apparently, I think his dad lives in Beverly Hills, so apparently he's quote-unquote nuts, and he has some money to pay for $900 full-page ads.
Right. And the dad wrote this as if the son were saying it.
Yes. He wrote it from the son's perspective.
Yeah, it's not like it's absurd as it is, but it would almost be somewhat acceptable if the dad wrote it saying, here's what I would like for my son. Instead, he wrote it in his words.
Yes. As you might imagine, this has been making the social media rounds, making things worse for the son.
By a woman 14 years his junior
is
acceptable here.
Would be ideal. According to the dad, that's what the dad's thinking.
And height and weight proportional. I'd like to see what he likes. Yeah. In the physical appearance.
I believe he even set up an interview session for his son, for potential wives
Right?
I'm assuming that didn't actually happen, but he set up a time when people could meet with his son to, you know, see if they were worthy of being wife material.
Wow. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Someone's going to take him up on that offer, by the way. There will be women who file through, I'm pretty sure. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How great would it be if the post office were open 24/7? No more limited hours. You could get your mailing and shipping done on your schedule. Well, now you can when you use Stamps.com. Print postage whenever you need it, right from your desk. Stamps.com will save you the time and hassle of going to the post office. There's no more rushing there during your busy day. Just use your computer and printer to get official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then the mailman picks it up. It's that easy. You'll save money with Stamps.com, too, by getting exact postage the instant you need it. No more overpaying. You'll even get special postage discounts that you can't get at the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal. 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, voting is underway in a historic referendum on whether the UK should remain a member of the European Union or leave. It's only the third nationwide referendum in UK history. The Leave campaign has been spearheaded by former London Mayor Boris Johnson.
If we vote leave and take back control, I believe that this Thursday can be our country's Independence Day.
Prime Minister David Cameron is in favor of staying.
Let's not make this choice to cut ourselves off from the world, to damage our economy, and let's recognize that the big challenges that we face, whether growing economies, getting more jobs, tackling huge problems in our world, we're better off if we fight them together.
A record 46 million people are entitled to vote. A decision is expected this evening, U.S. time. Democrats carried a remarkable House floor sit-in into a second day, disrupting the business of Congress with demands for gun control votes. Congressman Jim Hines of Connecticut says lawmakers owe it to the people to hold a vote.
It's fine in a house of worship, it's fine at your home, but in the chamber where with 2 hours of work we could save hundreds if not thousands of lives, silence is appalling.
Republicans branded the move a publicity stunt before adjourning the chamber at 3:15 a.m. until after the 4th of July. Democrats stayed on the House floor shouting, "No bill, no break," waving papers with the names of gun victims. Before adjourning, House Republicans pushed through a partisan bill to deal with a Zika outbreak. They agreed to a $1.1 billion to fight the virus, shortchanging President Obama's $1.9 billion funding request. Government researchers say the nasal spray version of the annual flu vaccine didn't protect kids this past flu season. The spray performed dismally for the third straight year. While the traditional flu shot worked reasonably well, flu mist was once regarded as the best vaccine for protecting children against flu. And Las Vegas will get its first major professional sports league team next year with an NHL expansion franchise. Bill Foley, a Las Vegas businessman, and his partners will pay a $500 million expansion fee for the franchise, which will give the league 31 teams.
Wow. So are just we on a mission to find the hottest places where hockey teams
can
play?
Yes, you can cool off at the hockey rink.
Phoenix,
inside.
Las Vegas now. You got Tampa, you got South Florida. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. The NBA draft is tonight. Is it important that players have NCAA tournament experience? The Wall Street Journal says no. If LSU forward Ben Simmons is the 76ers selection, as expected, he would be the first person in college basketball's one-and-done era to be selected with the top pick despite not playing in the NCAA tournament. But how about this? The Journal says the top prospects who actually played in the NCAA tournament didn't fare much better. In fact, the projected lottery picks will enter the NBA with less postseason success in their most recent season of college basketball than any other group of lottery picks in the last decade. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.